Father, tonight we bless you, we honor you, we worship and reverence you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. Father, there's no one like you. There's no one in your category. We're so glad to be your sons and daughters tonight. We're so glad that you are our very own Father. We cry out to you, Abba, Daddy, you're our Father. And Father, we're so glad to walk in the realization of that tonight. As we stand before your word, Father, with the awesome privilege to share your mighty word, we realize that this word is not the word of dead men. This word is not dead men's words. The word of God is alive tonight. And Father, because your word is unlike any other word, we know that heaven and earth will pass away one day, but not your word. Your word is just dripping with anointing. Your word has got the answer for every situation we face. Your word, there's the power of your rhema word, the power of your written word. Father, your word is endued with unction and power. The word's quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So tonight, we combine, we mix faith with the mighty word of God. We're not just going to listen like bumps on a log, but we mix faith with the mighty word, and we expect your word to do exploits in us, exploits through us, exploits for us through the mighty word, your word tonight, Father. And then we thank you for the good Holy Ghost, our helper tonight. He's the great helper. He's the great standby, the paraclete. He's the one called alongside to help. Thank you that you didn't leave us like orphans, but you sent one to us, the Holy Ghost, the precious Holy Ghost. You said if the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he'll quicken your mortal body. Thank you for quickening people tonight. Quickening people tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the good Holy Ghost, our advocate. He's our comforter. He's our guide. He's our revealer of truth. Oh, thank you for the mighty Holy Ghost tonight. So, thank you for feeding your people. These are your people, the sheep of your pasture, those watching online, those listening through some other venue, those here in this live service. Father, these are all your sheep. And so we thank you that your word shall meet every need. Speak a word to everyone listening tonight. Speak a word to everyone listening to this message, Father. Oh, as only you can do. Thank you for the unction tonight. Thank you for the utterance on tonight. Thank you, Father God, for lifting every bowed down head, encouraging every discouraged spirit, for building up every person that needs to be built up, for strengthening, for healing, for touching, for correcting, whatever the need may be, Father, the answer is in you. So we look to you and thank you, giving you the glory, giving you the honor, giving you the praise. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Turn and shake one more person's hand as you find your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, all those anointed ladies on the front line and all those men and ladies in the band, man, aren't they anointed tonight? Didn't they lead us right into the presence of God? Show your love to them. Aren't you glad? Praise God. It's nothing like going to the Lord. Amen. There's nothing like the joy and the power of being able to go to him. And so it's so very important. I remember my mama, she had a friend. Her name was Miss Register, and my mama's friend was always testifying about how the Lord had healed her, and she had had a long, she was a sweet little Baptist lady, and she had a long-standing back issue, back ailment, from what I remember, nothing else could be done for her back. She was in constant pain, but Miss Register, she kept worshiping God and praising the Lord and blessing the Lord, Miss Register, if I heard her testimony once, I heard her testimony 100 times because she was never afraid to give her testimony. She was always going to tell you what God had done for her. And she didn't care if you heard it, if you didn't want to hear it, she didn't care. She's going to tell you that testimony again. Miss Register told her testimony so many times, I could mouth silently the words to her testimony while she was giving it. But I remember Miss Register, she'd be testifying about how she was in pain and she kept praising God for her healing. Think about that. A little sweet Baptist lady praising God as the healer. I said, amen. She kept praising God as her healer. She kept right on worshiping him. She said she was just in pain. Nothing would give her any relief. And Miss Register said she was in her kitchen one day, and she said she was mopping the floor. And she said she was praising God. He's her healer. And she was in pain. And she said, suddenly right there in her kitchen, this is the way she told it. She said, the mop went one way and the bucket went the other way. And she said, the Lord healed me in my kitchen. And she said, I danced all over that kitchen. And she said, because the mop went flying and the bucket went flying, then her children ran in saying, Mama, Mama. And she was dancing in the Lord. And she said, don't touch me. Get away from me. And she was dancing. The Lord's my healer. The Lord's my healer. But Miss Reg, I don't know how many times I said, oh, there go Miss Reg. I can hear her downstairs. The mop going to go one way and the bucket going to go another. But I love that about her testimony. God likes it when people aren't afraid to testify. God likes it when his children give him the glory for what he has done. Let's go to the word tonight. We're in Psalm 63, if you will. And Psalm 63, this is a psalm of David. My Bible says when he was in the wilderness of Judah. But really, when you research this psalm, 61, 62, and 63 all go together. He's dealing with the same set of circumstances when he sang prophetically all of these psalms to the Lord. David had been king of Israel. God had honored his promise to him. He had been king of Israel. And then through a series of horrific circumstances, he was deposed as king. And all three of these psalms, we're going to read from a little bit from each of them, but we'll read mainly Psalm 63. But you really, to get 63, you have to get things out of 61 and 62 that go with 63. And to get the real setting, we don't have time, I'll just help you here. Back in 2 Samuel chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 is the story that details really the plot of how David is overthrown as king. Really, he's overthrown, and members of his own family came up with the plot. In 13, one of his sons rapes his sister, and then her brother, it was her half-brother that raped her, and then her full brother wants to take vengeance upon him, and he plots. For 2 years, he develops a plot for 2 years to get revenge on his brother. And really, there was a deeper problem. We don't have time for that tonight. But David never disciplined his son. His son was too close to him and he didn't discipline him. And so when his son raped his sister, David let him get away with that, basically, essentially. But his son ran to his grandfather, to his grandfather's kingdom. His grandfather was a foreign king, and so he was in exile out there 3 years. Let me shorten the story. So David decides to let him come back to the kingdom after 3 years with no punishment, except that David says he can't come to Jerusalem. He can't see me face to face, but I'll let him come back, let him be restored. So that goes on, and this boy's name was Absalom. So without corrective discipline, without corrective action, then after 2 years of being back, he hadn't seen his father face to face in 2 years. It was really a half discipline that David gave him, but he didn't see his father for 2 years. And after 2 years, then he demanded to see his father face to face. Eventually David met with him face to face, and then David completely restored him with no discipline. Still there were things that his son was bitter. His son was felt entitled, and his son was angry at David still. In the midst of that, the Bible says, as you read through chapter 14 and 15 over into 15, going in 15, certainly, and then going into 16, it says that this boy, Absalom, he developed a plot really to steal. What the Bible says, he stole away the hearts of the people from his dad. And the way he did that was that he, every morning, he would have 50 of his servants march before his chariots, and they would go to the gate right outside where David was giving judgments. David would give rulings and judgments on behalf of the people as the king. That was one of his responsibilities. And while he was doing that, Absalom would have 50 people run before his chariot. Like, you know, he developed he just did that for pomp and circumstance so that he could look kingly so that he could look the part. And so then he would ask the people before they would go in to meet with David. He would sabotage his father. And he would ask the people, what's your case? What's your situation? And the people would tell him before they would go tell David. David's going to make the actual ruling. But they would tell Absalom because he would get to him first. And Absalom would say, oh, if I were king, I'd rule in your favor. Absalom, he hugged them with phony hugs. He kissed the people with phony kisses. And the Bible says he did that for 2 years. The Bible says he stole away the hearts of the people from his dad that way. And then if that wasn't enough, he came up with a vicious plan to overthrow David. And so in that vicious plan, he kills his half-brother who had raped his full sister. He kills that boy. And then in the midst of all of that chaos, he tries to overthrow his dad. And so in the midst of overthrowing his dad, David is fearful for his life and he has to run. There are 600 people. They're all running. He's the king. He's running deposed from the throne and he's running into hiding. And he tells the people with him, if Absalom catches up with us, he will kill every single one of us. And because of that, he goes into hiding and he's hiding in caves and he's hiding in mountains. And he is gone from the luxury of the king's palace to just lonely caves. He's far away from home. He's far away from friends. He had deep friends. You remember he had a friendship with Saul's son, Jonathan, but Jonathan was already gone from the scene by then. And when we see him here in Psalm 63, he is hurting. He is battered. And in Psalm 63, he is in turmoil. And he's in anguish. Let's go to the word. We're here at Psalm 63. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Oh God, you are my God. I will seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth, and they will be delivered over to the power of the sword, and they will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God, and everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. It had gotten so bad on his escape route as David was escaping. The Bible says there's a man named Shimei, and he comes out to insult King David. He's no longer fearful of the king. He sees David in fear and turmoil and anguish running for his life. And Shimei figures, I've got nothing to fear from him now. He's a weak, he thinks of King David. He's a weak, beaten man. And so Shimei with cowardness and with arrogance steps forward as David's running. And he tells David, you deserve it. And he tells David, God did this. God's chasing you from the throne. And he said, your own hand bought this on you. And he just tells him, you're defeated. In our modern vernacular, you're a loser. You're never going to make it. And one of David's right hand men says, let me go cut his head off. And David is in such anguish, he says, maybe God told him to say that. I don't know. Leave him alone. And so Shimei goes walking parallel with David. And the Bible says he was kicking dust on him. And there was the anguish of his own son betraying him, deposing him, and yet to deal with the betrayal of friends and people who were loyal to him, who were now loyal to his son Absalom, who were now following Absalom, and the hurt and the anguish, and then to be away from your home, away from your bed, away from his throne, and to be running. He was in anguish when these words from Psalm 63 were written. And you can tell one of the things that he has to deal with. Let's go back in Psalm 63, verse 1. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. Look, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. He was far from home. And the way he describes it, a dry and weary land, you can tell that one of the things that David has to deal with is the effect of loneliness. And let me tell you, my friend, loneliness is no friend to you or I. Amen. And there are times, sometimes in all of our lives, we all experience some degree, some more than others, a degree of loneliness. Amen. And if your situation tonight is you have your spouse by your side, your sweetie by your side, you ought to thank God every day. You can't get no amen teaching like that. I said you ought to thank him. You ought to thank him for that girl. You ought to thank him for that guy. Because you know if they weren't on the scene, you'd be so lonely. And so he had to deal. He said this is a dry and it's a thirsty, a dry, thirsty land. And you can tell he's dealing with loneliness. When he gets down to verse 6, he says, "When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches." Well, he said, plural, I'm meditating upon you in the night watch. He's indicating he's having a problem sleeping. And so he's meditating on God. The night, first of all, the night watches would have been, you know, in the evening time, 6 to 9, 9 to midnight, midnight to 3, 3 to 6. That would have been the night watches. He's up at all hours of the night. And you may be listening to this message and you may understand perfectly what he was going through. Your own sleep may be affected from you. You can be going through a situation that can be so dire. Your circumstances can grip you in such a way that if you're not careful, you can find yourself losing sleep. Anybody ever been in a situation where you couldn't sleep? Three people been in a situation where they couldn't sleep. Nah, the whole house. The whole house. Yeah, and when you can't sleep, it's a dangerous thing when you can't sleep, because during that time our body recovers and you get that rapid eye movement if things are going right and your body is able. The Lord has so fearfully and wonderfully created our bodies that healing things go in place and in motion. And when you don't get sleep, those things don't happen, and things can get into chaos. He was dealing with loneliness. He was dealing with sleeplessness. And to make it so bad, when you get over to Psalm 61, go over to Psalm 61. Let's get more context. Because Psalm 61 tells us, "Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a refuge for me." He's saying, I'm a long way from home. And he said, my heart is faint to the point of collapse. He's saying, I'm at the point where I can't go on. I can't hardly breathe. He's saying, my heart has been overwhelmed by my circumstance. Anybody ever been here? Anybody here been like that? And he said, when my heart gets overwhelmed like it is, he's saying, God, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so I want to say in our time tonight, really three things the Lord laid on our heart that are remedies for these conditions: loneliness, sleeplessness, and his heart being faint and being overwhelmed gives the idea that he's dealing with worry and fear as well. So dealing with worry, fear, loneliness, sleeplessness. And I really want to say really three things to you about all of this. The first thing is when you're in a situation that has produced loneliness, that has produced sleeplessness, that has produced worry, something that might be making you fearful. Listen, when you're in that kind of situation, you've got to do what David said in Psalm 62, because he said, I'm going to pour out my heart before him. And so my first point is, when you're in a situation like that, pour your heart out to God. Lift your voice to God. You're there in Psalm 62. He says, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him? Now listen, he's letting his soul, he's pouring his heart out. He's telling God what he's feeling, what he's experiencing. He's honestly stating, God, this is where I am. This is what I'm dealing with. People have betrayed me. They are trying to murder me. Let's go back to the text. Verse 3. How long will you assail a man that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down, to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God, my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Men of low degree are only vanity. Men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression. Do not vainly hope in robbery. And if riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. What's your first point? It's verse 8 again. Pour out your heart to God. If you're feeling loneliness, you're feeling blue. Something's made you blue. Something's made you lonely. You're feeling, it's gotten to a point where it's interrupting your sleep. And when you put your head on your pillow, you can't just go right to sleep. And something's got you worried. And something is of such an extreme nature that it's making you fearful. Number one, pour your heart out to God. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Tell him what's going, tell him how you feel. Get it out to him. What most people do is they talk to other people, or, you know, they talk to people who can't help them in any way. But God has open arms, and he wants you and I to come to him and pour our heart. Sometimes the only thing you can say is, God, save me. Amen. Wish I could get an amen there. Amen. I said, Peter was walking on the water. He began to sink one day. He cried out, Jesus, save me. Amen. And you remember the Lord did? He reached out and grabbed him. And he'll reach out and grab you. I said, I wish I could get an amen in this place. I said, if you ask him, save me, help me, he'll reach out and grab you. If you say, Lord, I'm sinking, I'm going down, I'm fearful and lonely and I'm worried, he'll grab you. And he will hold you up, and he will prop you up, and he will help you up, and he will see you through. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, God hears you when you pray. Pour your heart out to him. Cry out to your Father, because when he hears your call, he will come running. I said, he'll come running to see about you. He knows your voice and he hears your call, and all you've got to do is say, I need your help. Over in Psalm 40, David said, I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted my feet out of the miry clay. He said, I was in a situation that I couldn't get out of. I was stuck and I couldn't get out, but God lifted my feet out of the miry clay. I said, he'll hear you when you pray. Pour your heart out to him. Never be afraid to tell him how you're feeling. If you're lonely, tell him that you're lonely. If you're hurting, tell him that you're hurting. If you're worried, tell him that you're worried. You can't get no amen teaching like this. I said, if you're fearful, tell him that you're fearful. He will rush to your side. What's your point, preacher? Pour your heart out to him. What's your second point, preacher? Pour your praise out upon him. David didn't stay there. He didn't end there. He poured his heart out to God, but he didn't just leave it there. Is anybody with me in here? He began to lift his voice. Because when you think about it, your voice is your weapon. I said your voice is your weapon. And when you're feeling lonely, and when you're feeling blue, and when you're feeling worried, and when you're feeling fearful, and when you can't sleep at night, you need to lift your voice unto God. I can't get no amen. You need to praise him whether or not you feel like praising him. And you say, well, if I could just get the worship team to come home with me, then Pastor Preacher, if I could get the worship team to come, then I would worship God. And I want to tell you, that's all right. You don't need no worship team coming to your house. Your voice is all you'll need. If you'll lift your voice and begin to bless his name. I said, God will hear you, and it doesn't matter. You say, well, I'm not a singer. I'm not a worshiper. It doesn't matter if you have a voice. Lift your voice to God. I said, your circumstances fear your voice. Your circumstances cannot handle your voice when you lift your voice in worship to God. If you need a little accompaniment, then put some music on. Put your 8-track on. You say, oh, preacher, you trying to be funny? I ain't got no 8-track. I got a cassette. Put your cassette on. Now, you may have some digital form of music. Go on to Spotify or go on to iTunes, whatever you do. But worship the Lord. And what are you saying? I'm saying you ought to bless him. Listen to me, especially when you don't feel like blessing him. You can't get an amen when you teach like that. I said, when everything in your body says, I'm feeling lonely, I don't feel like blessing him, you ought to make yourself praise him. You've got to talk to your soul like David talked to his soul. He said, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. This thing ain't over. And so you've got to bless him, especially when you don't feel like blessing him. When it don't seem like there's anything to bless him for. When you don't feel like, you don't feel it. You just want to stay in bed and draw the curtains. And you just say, I want to stop the world because I want to get off for a little while. You need to make yourself praise him. I said, lift your voice in praise. When it looks black, when it looks blue, when it looks bleak, lift your voice and praise his name. Now there is a power that comes from you when you bless him by faith. And I can tell you this, you won't be blessing him long by faith. Because if you start off in faith, you'll end up in the spirit. I can't get no amen teaching here. If you start off blessing him by faith, you'll end up blessing him in the spirit. Oh, yes, you will. I said, there's power in your voice, power in your praise. Power. It's all right when they praise him up here. It's all right when they bless him up here. But oh, when you bless him. I said, when you lift your voice, I said, when heaven hears your voice lift, I said, when the devil hears your voice, begin to bless him, begin to magnify him, begin to say, thank you, Father, begin to say, Father, I praise you, Father, I worship you. I may not understand, but I'm going to bless you anyway. I may not understand, but I'm going to sing anyway. I may not understand what I'm going through, but I'm going to lift your name. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to reverence you. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to pray. I can't get no help in here. I'm going to pray. You are worthy to be praised. I'm not praising you. Listen, you are worthy. In spite of every circumstance, you're worthy. I don't have to have everything line up right in my life for me to praise you. I can praise you when it looks like all hell has broken out. And David said, I'm going to magnify him. And I want you to know there's no mountain in your life that can resist the power of your praise. Can I get an amen? Psalm 97 verse 5 says, the mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. When you start blessing him and praising him, his very presence will come on the scene. He is in you. He is upon you. His presence will come around you and he will start changing things among you. David said, I'm going to praise him. You can see it in Psalm 61 verse 8. He said, I will sing praise to your name forever. I like that. He said, I'm not waiting on a feeling before I praise you. Whether a feeling comes or whether a feeling goes, that's not determining if I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you anyway.
if things line up or if things don't line up, that's not my determination as to whether or not I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you anyway. If things go my way or if things don't go my way, I'm still going to praise you. If I keep my job or if they let me go, I'm going to praise you. You can't get no amen teaching like that. The Hebrew boys knew a little bit about that. They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to worship you. We're not going to bow because there's a God in heaven and we have reserved our praise for him. And he said, I'm going to turn the furnace up 7 times hotter. I'm going to burn you to a crisp. And they said, well, be it known, O king, that even if you do that, if you do that, they said, the God we serve is going to show enough to deliver us. I like that. They said, if you turn the flame up, he's still going to deliver us. Then they said this, even if he doesn't. Now, this is where you lose most faith, people. They said, even if he doesn't deliver us. See, I lost all my amen. I said, they said, even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow to you. We're going to praise a God in heaven because he is our Father and he's worthy of praise. And if we go in the flame, we're going to praise him because he'll bring us out. I wish I had an amen. The Bible said they came out without the smell of smoke. And there was a fourth one in the furnace. They found a fourth one in the furnace worshiping him. David said, I'm going to worship him. Over in Psalm 63, verse 3, 4, and 5, he said, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. So David said, look, I'm going to, and then the end of verse five, my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. I said, you're going through a tough time. You're feeling lonely. You're feeling blue. You need to rejoice in God. Make yourself rejoice. You need to go walk around and just say, ha, ha, ha. Say, ha, ha, ha. It may look like you broke. There ain't a dime in your bank account. You ought to walk around saying, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. You ought to walk around. The enemy will say, what are you saying? What are you laughing for? You can say, devil, I'm laughing because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hey! And I may be broke tonight, but I can't stay broke. Ha, ha, ha. Angels have been dispatched. Angels are moving from the north. Angels moving out of the south. Angels moving out of the west. Angels moving out of the east. And they're bringing them. Ha, ha, ha. Pour your praise on him. I said, pour your heart out to him. Pour your praise on him. Rejoice in the Lord, especially when you're in a difficult situation. David learned how to rejoice in God. Listen, finally, you've got to meditate on what God's already done for you. When you read down here in Psalm 63, about verse 6, he said, Psalm 63, verse 6, he said, when I remember you on my bed, listen to what he said, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. Even when he couldn't sleep, you know what he did? He started meditating. He started meditating on what God had already done for him. I said he meditated on answers to prayer. You know, my brother and sister, God, he'd been good to you. And to say it that way is really an understatement. Am I right about it? I'm gonna give you a chance. See, I know this. The Lord, he'd been good. I know he'd been good to me. If I could get up on my other foot, I'd get up on the other foot. I know he'd been good to Bill. That's one of my favorite sayings. God been good to Bill. Go in my house, I got a big old sign above my pantry. God been good to Bill. On my golf bag, I got a sign. I had him embroider into the golf bag. God been good to Bill. My golf ball, you know what my golf ball said? God been good to Bill. I know he'd been good to Bill. I said he lifted me up when I was down. He saw me through when I was discouraged. He made a way when I thought there was no way. He opened a door when I thought all the doors was closed. He opened the window that nobody, I wish I had him in there. I don't need you for this one now. If I'm talking about me, I'll bless him on my own. I said, God has been good to me. He's shown up been good to me. I remember I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'd gone through something several years ago. I said, Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. I know that you're here with me by faith, but you promised over in Isaiah 40, verse 27. Look over there real quick. Go to Isaiah 40, 27. Look over there real quick. Isaiah 40, 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. See, I was feeling weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. See, I lack might. And though youths grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. I'm a little like Miss Register when it comes to this scripture, because I don't mind telling my testimony again and again. And when I was telling the Lord, Lord, I know you've promised to strengthen me. You've promised to renew my strength like that of the eagle, but I don't feel it. Lord, I need your help. The circumstances that I'm going through, the situation that I'm facing, I need your help. Sometime after the 10th time that I read this scripture, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me this: if you will renew your mind, I will renew your strength. You are trying to get renewed strength with an unrenewed mind. I can't get no help making that point. I said, if you wait on him, if you wait on him and meditate on what he's already done, meditate on what the Lord has done for you. And then if you'll wait, listen, if you'll wait on him, he will strengthen you. When I saw that man, I got busy right away. I knew what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to renew my mind in a certain area and a circumstance I was going through. And I got busy renewing my mind. I woke up the next day, rolled over to my knees, threw my hands in the air. I said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Father, I feel that mantle of strength. And from that day, many years ago, to this day, I walk in that same strength. But my point was, he'd been good to you. And since you didn't say amen loud enough, then I got to testifying about me. But what I was saying was, he'd been good to you. Because you've been in circumstance, you've been in condition, you've been in situations where it looked like you weren't going to make it. And you went down on a bended knee talking to your Father God, and he came through for you. The Lord, it was the Lord. You know it was the Lord. You ought to testify. God opened that door for you. You ought to tell it. God gave you that job. You ought to tell it. You'd be walking today if it wasn't for the Lord. It was the Lord who put the roof over your head. It was God who put bread on your table. It was the Lord who, I wish I had an amen in here. I said, God gave you those clients. God gave you those customers. God opened that door for you. God has been good to you. Over and then over and then over and then over again, he's been good to you. You've got to meditate when you're feeling lonely on what God's already done. Meditate on how he brought you through in the past. Meditate on how he opened doors in the past. Meditate on what he did for you in the past. Meditate on how he gave you favor way back then. Meditate on how he gave you the job. He gave you the strength. He gave you the help. He gave you the health. He gave you everything you asked him for. Hey, God's been good to you. You know I'm right about it. I said, he's been good. He's been good. He's been better than good. He's been so good to you. He's been good. He's helped you time and then time again. David said, I've learned to meditate on what God has done for me. You remember in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, when David had to fight Goliath, and over there around verse 37 of 1 Samuel 17, David said, when they were saying, you can't do it, you just a small boy, you can't fight this big giant, the giant too big for you, son. You can't fight him, you can't beat that giant. The giant you facing, you can't beat that giant too big for you, boy. And David said, oh, when I think back on the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, he said, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving and delivering me. David said, he touched my body, he healed my mind, he saved me just in time. He said, I remember verse 37. In verse 37, he said, that's my interpretation. In verse 37, he said, I remember when I was pasturing the sheep and a lion came and took one of the lambs. And then later a bear came and took a lamb. He said, but I was the shepherd. And he said, the Lord gave me the strength to go and attack that lion, to go and attack that bear. And he said, I was able to kill the lion. I was able to overcome the bear. And he said, let me tell you something. I wasn't in my own strength when I approached that lion. He said, my mouth was open by faith. I was speaking God's word. And every promise in the book was mine. And I was telling the devil that he was under my feet. He said, I was confessing God's mighty word. And he said, the Lord delivered me from the lion. He said, the Lord delivered me from the bear. And he said, the same God, he's on my side right now. I said, the same God who raised you up, he's on your side tonight. The same one who healed you before, he's on your side tonight. The same one who provided that job for you, he's on your side. I wish I had help in here. I'm talking about you, the same one who provided, who touched, who healed, who encouraged, the same one who opened doors for you before, he's the same one on the case tonight. And I said, if you'll trust him, pour your heart out to him, pour your praise out on him, and meditate on what he's already done in the past. God will deliver you and see you through to the victory. There is no mountain and there is no giant that can withstand your faith in God expressed through your worship and praise. And if you're having problems sleeping, you better get some good music going so that the word is continually good word-based music, what I'm talking about. There's all kind of music. Some music, all right, it's all right, it's all right. Some music, all right, it's all right, I guess it's all right. But what I'm talking about, the remedy for what I'm talking about is word-based music. You want to be free from loneliness, you need music with the word in it. You want to be free from fear, you need music with the word in it. You want to be free from worry, you need music with the word in it. And especially when you put your head on your pillow, have some good word going in there. I don't care what kind of music you like, you may want to bump your way to sleep. That's all right if you got word in it. If you bumping with the word, I'm with you. As long as there's some word in it, bump on with the word. But whatever it is, if you want some good music, get Big C's music over here. You want some good word music, Big C back here, get some Big C music. Big C's music filled with the word. And I know you can get things online and you can go over there and talk to him and wave at us, Big C. Wave at you. Want some good word music? A man of God going all over the world sharing word music, powerful word music. Amen. But listen to me. David said in Psalm 4, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace because you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. He said, I'm going to lay down and sleep in peace. God's going to help you. If you'll pour your heart out to him, pour your praise out on him and meditate on what he's already done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for speaking to hearts. You hear. You want us to know that you hear us when we call. And Lord, I know you're speaking to people tonight, and I know you want to remind them. You hear them when they pray. And you rush to their side. Sometimes, Father, we let feelings get in the way of our faith. And someone here tonight needs to know and operate by faith, because when we operate by faith long enough, the correct feeling will eventually show up. Father, we trust you tonight through difficult circumstances. Some are here are facing difficult circumstances. Every head is bowed in here. How many of you are facing difficult circumstance tonight? Difficult. Oh, yeah. Put your hand down. That's fine. Put your hand down. That's why we're talking on this. Hallelujah. And so, Father, you see honest hearts. And I thank you for helping your people tonight. Minister to them life and peace and whatever they need. And help them during those times when they don't feel like it to reach beyond their feelings, to connect with their faith. Oh, Father, after pouring their hearts out to you and then to pour their praise out on you and then to meditate on what you've already done, because that'll build their faith in what you're about to do. So thank you for helping your people tonight to overcome. You've made us to be world overcomers. And we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so our prayer team is coming now. And as they're coming, you may be here tonight. It was your first chance to be with us here at Rhema, as Pastor Marvin was sharing at the beginning of the service.
And if this was your first opportunity to be with us here at Rhema, we just want you to know we love you and we're so glad you came. On behalf of our senior pastors, that gift that Pastor Marvin promised, we want to give it to you. If you'll go with our connection team members right now, they're not going to keep you long. They're just going to shake your hand and thank you for coming and bless you with a gift. And if you would go with them right now, they're going to escort you to that place to give you that gift. And we want you to know we're so glad you came. And if you need a good church home, a good church family, then we want you to consider us because we love you. And if you're just here passing through town, then you come on back anytime you're in town. But let's give all of these first-time guests another big hand and thank them for coming tonight. Now, this part of the service is over, but there's another part of the service that's just beginning. And that is that these anointed ladies over here and these anointed guys over here are here to minister to you. And as we conclude the service, instead of walking out the door, something's making you fearful. Something's making you worry. Something's making you lonely. You need to come forward. If you're, you know how we do by now, one of the ladies, come over here, one of these anointed ladies. If you're a guy, come over to one of these anointed guys. And let someone agree with you in prayer. They're going to quote scripture, they're going to quote the word, and they're going to pray anointed prayer in agreement with you as God brings you through. So don't be embarrassed, don't be shy. Come on down, let God minister to you. You need Jesus in your life. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Come on forward. Talk to one of these ladies, talk to one of these guys. They'll help you. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Pastor Marvin, anything else? And stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. Lift one hand to the Lord. Father, as we prepare to go now, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the word we've heard. And now we shall endeavor to heed that word. We shall endeavor to follow that word as you've spoken unto our heart. And Father, we thank you for practical application in the hearts and lives of your people. And we thank you for blessing us as we go, keeping us all safe until we see each other here on Wednesday night as Pastor brings us the word. So thank you again, Father, for watching over us until then. We'll give you all of the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, saints of God, thank you for being so wonderful, so easy to teach and minister to. We love you. We thank God for you. We see you right here on Wednesday night.